B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bedard's breakdown, colon. As regular season concludes, Tom Brady still not near his MVP level. Looks like someone took a look at the film against the Jets and said, well, at what, Greg?
He was not up to the level that they need him at. He's still leaving a ton of yards and a ton of plays on the field because he's just not, comparing him to last year, but going through his whole career, he almost always makes the right decisions in terms of where to go with the ball. Answers to the test, all that stuff. It hasn't been happening this season. Every game, there are four, five, six decisions that you're just like, why did he do that? Why didn't he do this other thing? Where in years past, you could maybe get one, two a game, maybe. It's like you're talking about a dozen during an entire season. Now it's every game, and now it's you include this game. Now going back to the Rob Gronkowski touchdown against the Dolphins, he just hasn't played that well.
That's Bedard on Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's not Maz. That's Bedard.
No processing needed. You heard it there in his own words. Bedard says he wrote on Boston's Journal pretty much the same thing, that when he left the stadium the other night, he held the same opinion as most people, that Brady finally looked like his old self. Then he looked at the film and came up with something totally different. He said, after a rewatch, I did not think Brady played well in this game. He says that now makes it 14 quarters with subpar for him play since we saw Brady's normal level in the first 27 minutes at Miami, as he just said in that cut. So he's basically saying the second half in Miami at Pittsburgh versus Buffalo has been caca. And the Jets, it wasn't any better. So maybe I just added another game on there. Or no, that's right, three-plus games. He's saying 3.5 games is what he's saying, including the Jets. He said against the Jets, the Patriots offense really scored 24 in this game.
He's right.
And not the 38, because 14 were gifted by the defense. 7 was a defensive score by Van Noy. And then they recovered another fumble at the 9. They only had 2 drives of more than 60 yards against the Jets. So, and then if you go to bostonsportsjournal.com, give it a subscription if you don't subscribe. But he goes through plays, a lot of them where he just sort of, from the coach's film, from up top, shows when Tom Brady released the ball, throwing it to someone who was covered, where there's an open guy on the other side of the field or somewhere else on the field. And that's sort of a common theme. And that's really what the crux of his argument is that Brady's not going to the right place with the ball. Furthermore, more specifically, he's bailing out of plays where he's taking the first thing that he sees or sort of predetermining where he's going with the ball, where if we just held it for an extra count or looked to the backside or looked to the other side of the field or looked somewhere else, there would be someone wide open for a bigger play, and he's not taking that play. He's taking the easier, quicker throw, what looks like an easier throw, but just stick with the quicker throw instead of sticking with the play. And that's really sort of a common theme, and that's been going on for the last 3-plus weeks, and that even existed in the Jets game, even though they blew doors in that game. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, look, I don't think Brady's been good all year. And so I have a hard time telling you, outside of the first half of that Miami game down in Miami, I have a hard time saying to you, oh, yeah, Brady was really good in that game. I don't remember any. He's been okay. I mean, and again, if you go by the metrics, the pure stat numbers in the league, he's middle of the pack. And that's what it felt like to me this year. And so the idea that he's clearly shied away from contact, I'm not even sure that one's all that debatable. All you got to do is go back, look at some of those plays and replays of him with him spinning out of throws. It has happened multiple times.
So Bedard says maybe he's hurt, but whatever the reason, the bottom line is that Brady has had issues with his vision and hasn't shown the willingness to take the plays later into the down to sort things out. He'd rather just dump it off and move on. That's fine for many quarterbacks, but that's not how Brady normally operates. Maybe he's under orders from the coaches to do that for one reason or another, including self-preservation. But that's not going to cut it in the postseason against average or even good defenses. Will Brady be able to flip a switch and suddenly be the assassin from the pocket the Patriots need him to be? Maybe, maybe not. All I know is, says Bedard, that the Patriots can't go where they want to go without that guy, and we haven't seen him for weeks. So Bedard, after watching, says that it was really no better against the Jets. Made some plays, but really, definitely the same problems were still there. Then I asked the panel here to rank the postseason quarterbacks. There's 12 teams left, obviously, in the NFL postseason. Rank the quarterbacks until you get to Tom Brady. Murray, why don't you do it? Go ahead.
Patrick Mahomes.
Hold on.
Off.
Mahomes is one.
Number two is Drew Brees.
Brees is two.
Number three is Andrew Luck.
Luck!
Who is back.
Andrew Luck is three.
At number four, you have Thomas Edward Brady.
Brady is four.
Yeah.
Okay, Maz, what's your list?
I got Brees.
Hold on! Drew Brees.
Yes, Drew Brees, yes.
Next.
Luck.
Andrew Luck, a resurgent season.
That's crazy you have those two ahead of Mahomes.
Mahomes. So you have Luck ahead of Mahomes?
I do. I think Mahomes still makes some shaky decisions, and Luck feels to me much tighter than Mahomes.
Did you see Luck's pick six in this last game?
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah, Mahomes has a couple of bad throws every game.
Okay.
That should be picked. Wilson fourth, Brady fifth.
Wilson is fourth.
No bias there with Wilson.
No.
Brady is fifth.
See?
Hawks! So that's Maz's list. Bedard had Brady sixth.
Correct.
Brady had...
Why don't you pick on him, Murray?
I think, didn't Bedard have Brees, Luck, Mahomes, Wilson, and Rivers, and then Brady?
Correct.
So he had Philip Rivers ahead of Tom Brady. Had him sixth out of the 12 NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah, where do you have Brady?
So I would have him five. I would have him five. I don't have Luck in there, and I'm a big Andrew Luck guy. I'm just... He's still a little loose with the ball now, too.
Yeah, no, Mahomes, I feel like Mahomes' experience is going to cost him.
But I do have Rivers. So none of you guys believe in Rivers.
I hate the way Rivers throws.
I know, you've hated it. Then you must have hated it for 16 years.
I have Rivers right behind Brady. So history comes in here because Brady's had so much success in the postseason. Rivers hasn't. Like, he's a pick waiting to happen, I feel like, in the postseason.
Brady or Deshaun Watson?
Brady.
Brady, but it's close. It's close. I'm telling you, again, I have Brady 5, 6, and 7, Watson and Rivers. Like, I think you're getting into an area there, like, well, that's not bad either. Like, I'll take, you know, I'm okay with that if you want to give me one of those guys. And let's face it, the mobile quarterback thing is becoming a huge factor in the league. The ability for these guys to extend and create plays, it's not all about the running. It's about the extending plays and throwing on the run, all of it. Whether it's Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Mayfield, they all move, every single one of them, and I do like that.
So I have Brees. I have Wilson second. I think he's, you know, that whole team has been pretty impressive this year. That's really feel like they're in the middle of a rebuild, and I think they're not there because Pete Carroll and his defense and that quarterback. But so your thoughts, is that being too hard on Brady? Is he a middle of the pack playoff quarterback right now? Has it really been 14 quarters of subpar play for him by his standards, not, you know, the normal Jamoke standards, but by his standards? That's Bedard's analysis. What is yours? We'll continue with your thoughts on that. We have some Celtics thoughts mixed in as well. Right back to you, as promised. Billy in Rhode Island. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how you doing, fella?
Good.
Who are the two teams that beat the Mahomes? Who were the Jets?
The two teams? I think they had four losses.
Yeah, but there are four losses. Yeah, look, all the teams they lost to, they lost, knows the Rams that had tough losses, I think. Kansas City lost to...
The Chargers.
Chargers, the Patriots, the Rams.
Okay. What does it matter? Let's not
do
this.
They lost to the Patriots at home. They lost to the Patriots at home, right?
Yeah.
So why are we afraid? Here's my point. Forget that for a minute. Just keep it in the back of your mind. The thing that I want to make a point of is... Their receiving core, the Patriots, and I'm not giving Brady a pass, believe me, but they have nothing. Zero.
That's so
now odd. They're starting to get the backs involved in the play. Are you there?
I'm here.
And okay. And they're going to start having a double backs like they had in the last game, and they're going to have more receivers out in the flanks to go out for passes. He has no looks for anybody out there.
Okay, but if you go and Billy, I'm just going to cut you off. Go subscribe to the Boston Sports Journal and take a look at Bedard's. He gives you plays. You can actually see it with your own eyes. And you can see the open guys. He has guys open. The stuff about Tom Brady's not surrounded by anything is starting to, you know, really drive me crazy. You're wrong. You're wrong. Watch the film. Watch Bedard's breakdown. There's guys open all over the place. There's guys open. So whether you think they're good players or not is irrelevant. They're open. They're there. And Brady a lot of times isn't finding them, according to Greg. Right? So that's that. In terms of, if the Patriots are home against Kansas City, That's a different story.
Sure.
It's a different analysis. But, oh, by the way, I'd also say this. Do you think the Patriots are better or worse than they were when they faced Kansas City in, when was that, early November, late October, whenever that was?
I think that they are.
I don't think they're any better.
Yeah. I don't. I was going to say. I was just going to say. I think they're about the same.
They put 40. They ask you like this. They put 40 points on the board in that game. Do you think they could do that now?
No. So offensively, I think they're worse. Defensively, I think actually think they're better. So
fine.
It's a wash.
Fine.
Kansas City's defense is bad.
But this is what I don't they have Eric Berry back? I've said this all.
Don't know if this offense can get to 40 at this point.
Exactly.
38.
Every year you've won the Super Bowl in this era, in the second half of the dynasty, you've had a game or two where you've had to put 30 plus points on the board. Are you confident they can do it this year with the way they're playing right now and Brady looks right now?
No.
Right. That's a big reason why I don't like them. I think they have one of those games. Never mind, they could also have a game where Baltimore's defense just totally smothers you. Just totally smothers you.
See, the people writing off the Ravens because they don't have a great passing game, I think is a mistake. That Baltimore team's got a good defense. I think they can come in here and win a rock fight.
I don't know who's going to beat you, but someone will. That's the only thing that I know. We continue with your thoughts right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now that 98.5 The Sports Hub has received a long-term contract extension, I believe it's only natural to think Tom Brady is next, right?
Tom Brady is, listen, yeah, look, Tom, I'm only hesitating because there aren't adjectives to describe how exceptional he is.
Of course.
And anybody who doubts that, anybody who doubts that is, you know, doesn't understand things. Tom's under contract for next year, and I think hopefully people have seen that, you know, there's a real understanding between all of us about how that situation is going to work into the future. And Tom, we're so lucky to have him as the quarterback and the leader of our football team. He was the MVP of the league last year, whatever. Not that that matters. And I read something he said last week because someone asked him about statistics. He said, all I care about is wins. And that's why he's Tom Brady. And that's why you wouldn't want anybody else quarterbacking your football team.
Jonathan Kraft on earlier with Beadle and Zoe. Two things there. One is, came on to announce a multi-year extension with the Sports Hub for the radio rights agreement for the Patriots, which is great news for us. Great news for you, frankly. But that was a surprise to me because, as I said earlier, that contract wasn't up. Like, we had multiple years to go with the Patriots. Like, beyond one, two, three, I think we had years and years to go on the existing deal, so they re-upped it, which is like, you're going to be hearing the Patriots on this station for a long, long time, folks. So that's again, good news for everybody, I think. But secondly, so then Beadle uses that to say, well, we're up. We get an extension. That means Brady's getting one. And the money line there, as you parse the words with Kraft, he says, there's a real understanding between all of us how that's going to work out into the future. And again, Maz wants to read into everything and think they're parsing words and da-da-da. I think this is on the face. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Okay, I just
How
don't.
Do you read that?
I don't think they have it all quite figured out yet. Do I think that Brady is going to stay? Yes, I do. I think Brady's going to stay. Do I think they know what Brady's going to be paid next year? No, I don't think they do. I think that there's some disagreement there, and they're going to have to figure that out. And
oh, next year, I think they know he's under contract, and they've already
$27 million.
Well, no, that's the cap number.
Okay, they're gonna carry a cap number $27 million
if they have to.
No, sure. They won't.
Why not?
They won't. They never do.
Well, this year was 22 or 23.
Okay, that's another five. They won't go to 27.
The contract, what if the caps go up another five, which I think they are?
Yeah, they won't.
They might.
I bet you they won't, but go ahead.
Either way, the question was about an extension, so that's where I think it caught him off guard a little bit. I wouldn't be shocked if he hung up the phone and said, note to self, yell at Bertrand next time I see him, because I don't think that they know. I'm with Maz on this.
Oh, I do. So,
in terms of an extension, after the deal that they just dangled in front of him with all those incentives that he didn't hit this year?
Well, I'm telling you, is what? Why would they give him a raise next? If they wouldn't give him a raise this year coming off of an MVP, why are they going to give him more money next year coming off of a mediocre year?
What if the understanding before the season was, this is what we're going to do this year, and then after the year we'll bump it?
Oh, maybe. That's possible.
So, all I'm saying is, I think that part of it, they don't have all the answers, is what I'm telling you. Do I think Brady's staying? Yes. He doesn't have a choice. Where's he going to go? He can't leave. He can't go. They'll franchise him. They're not going to let him walk. He's here. So now, but the particulars of it, I think that is a work in progress. Now, again, that's probably not a big deal. There have been other years where they haven't been able to figure it out. And, you know, ultimately they get it done before the season starts. That might be another one of those. I don't know. It doesn't feel right to me. Brady skips out of OTAs, and all of a sudden everybody's in agreement on what the plan is. Like, that doesn't feel right to me.
I think they may have settled some things this year.
Yeah, well, it could be because he's got Guerrero back.
I think they settled some things.
I mean, that could be. But I just think that some of those wounds run deeper.
I'm just telling you, and you know how I feel about this, that Brady can't go anywhere, as you just said. He's not going anywhere. They traded the next guy, so Brady owes him. Brady owes him. And whatever they give him, he's going to have to take. I mean, the thing they gave him this year was kind of embarrassing.
It's a joke.
Like, I mean, Brady comes off an MVP after all they've done for him, and they make him, you know, scrap for $5 extra million in incentives, and then give him a roster that's a little bit worse, and he doesn't even hit him. I mean, he's a middle of the pack paid quarterback. Like, yeesh.
That was insulting.
I mean, he made less money than Blake Bortles.
Okay,
right?
Exactly, that sort of thing. But Brady will take it. He's always taken it, and he has to take it now. So the team sort of has like. The Brady can say, where's my loyalty? And the answer there is, your loyalty is in San Francisco. What you get is the job. Okay, what you get is the job. But and we'll give you your trainer on the plane. All right? But the money, no, that's always going to be the last. That's always going to be the hardest part of it for any team.
Well, and I think at the end of the day, Brady probably wanted Guerrero more than he wanted the money. So I think he's content with that part of it. I don't know. That pause, he was surprised by the question. He wasn't expecting it. And the idea of, you know, to me, there's something awry there. And when I say awry, I don't mean that Brady's ready to quit, or I'm not telling you it's a major crisis. I'm just telling you, they're not 100%. They haven't covered all the bases yet. Maybe they generally have.
Okay, back to your phone. Scott in the car. Go ahead, Scott, on the Pats.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. I just got a couple of things, and I'll be about as brief as I can. And you've kind of dipped into it, touched on it a little bit. So let's just say that the Patriots go on and win the Super Bowl. And Brady decides he's had enough, 6 rings, yada, yada, yada. Can he step away because of the talks, because he, you know, Kraft's got rid of Jimmy G and the cupboard is bare?
No, I'm just going to stop you. No, he can't. He can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere, Tom. We traded the other guy. We had the next guy here for the next 10 to 15 years, and we traded him. So you owe us at least 3, 4. And that's where I would be if I'm the team. And maybe they are. Maybe they all understand that. I hope they all understand that. You ain't going anywhere, pal. And furthermore, I will add once again, next time we have a passing camp, maybe you can show up for it. All right? Because we traded the guy. We traded the next guy. So not only are you here and you can't go anywhere, you actually have to show up too and put in the same amount of work you always have. That's what I want to see.
Okay, what if that's part of the understanding where everyone is on the same page? Yes, Tom, I'll stay 3 more years, but I'm not coming to OTAs.
Well, I can't believe that he would be that guy now.
Well, I don't know. He already did it once, didn't he?
I'm hoping that's a one-off. Don't tell me he turns into Brett Favre. Don't tell me he turns into that. I don't want to. No. Some Celtics thoughts on the board. Pete in Delaware, your thoughts on the C's.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm in the camp of, I blame Brad Stevens for a lot of this because I don't think the guys are in the best position to be the best they can be. Like you guys are saying, I think the rotation should be shortened. If guys don't like it, too bad. That's Brad's job. But I do have one quick question for you. Kyrie's become like LeBron, and one thing I do want to ask you, do you think that his voice, Kyrie's, is being bigger than the coaches, kind of like LeBron was in Cleveland?
Yes, but that's not his fault. That's the way it works in that league. Okay, so for all of us Brad bots, you just need to realize that. It's not, you know, very, very few coaches Popovich is one. Maybe Riley and, you know, maybe Phil Jackson, but even that I doubt. You know, there's like, you count on two or three fingers, the number of coaches who are going to have a bigger voice than a superstar player. And Brad ain't one of them. But that's not his fault or Kyrie's fault. All I know is Kyrie's brilliant play and all of his yapping, it hasn't translated to a better team. That's all I know. I don't know why it hasn't. It just hasn't. They were this close away from being an NBA finalist last year. Then you add Kyrie Irving, who's playing at an MVP level, and they've gotten worse. So I have no answer for that. Do you? Jerry on Cape Cod, go.
Well, I'm just extending that last caller because I agree that Stevens is the issue. He's a great guy, nice person, but this transition into the pro level is not working. He's a proven college coach, and that's where his mainstay was, and it happens. I mean, making this kind of a transition into the pros with dealing with these superstars instead of college kids who are looking for, you know, maintaining their full rides and so forth is different. And I just...
Okay, let me just stop you. Do you agree with that, Mass?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Stevens is having a problem with this. That's what I think. And, you know, like some of the coaches you mentioned, Popovich, you know what, you know what gets you that kind of power in the NBA? Rings. When all of a sudden you have more jewelry than you can fit on one hand, you can then look at the players on your team and say, shut up. I have five of these. How many do you have? So that's when. Stevens doesn't have that. I think it's an issue. I think some of those guys got to sit. Rozier and Brown, chief among them.
Joe and Rozzy, what did you think of Gordon Hayward's night last night? You buying on him?
Oh, my God, boys. I haven't talked to you guys in so long. I've been in jail. I'm so sorry. But listen, Gordon Hayward... What is going on with this team? They just keep throwing water on him every time he scores more than 20 points. It's disgusting. If I was Gordon Hayward, I'd be like, stop doing this. You're embarrassing me. You know? What the hell? Felga, imagine if you got a broken finger or something and you couldn't click your little phone calls anymore. And then after every show from here on out, friggin' Murray and Maz are dumping water on your head. It's pathetic.
He raises a good point.
Yeah.
It's like they're treating him like the special kid in the corner. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, no.
You can still play.
Right? You know, it's like, geez, Louise, guys.
Yeah, like the utility infielder just had a 3-homer game.
He makes $30 million a year.
Yeah.
You know.
He's one of the biggest problems on the team. I mean, if you were to say to me, the three biggest reasons for their, you know, if you would point out individuals now, you know, not the collective chemistry, who have been the three biggest underachievers on the Celtics? Hayward, Jalen Brown, Terry Rozier.
No question.
Those three guys are where I start, right there.
Tatum's.
Yeah, he's close. Yeah.
Tatum's on your list as well. He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least he's had little flashes.
Well, they were early.
Brown has sucked all year, if you ask me. And Rozier has sucked all year, and so has Hayward.
Yeah, but the Rozier thing is frustrating in a game like last night because, oh, well, okay, so Kyrie's out, so I get to start, and you get to see Terry Rozier at his best. But when he comes off the bench and he's with that second unit, it's like, I don't know. You see, you know, holes in his game, lack of defense there. What's that about? You're just mad because you're not a starter.
Tell
you think that you are.
I'm not going to put up that fight. Add the list of four. Tatum, fine. You picked the four most disappointing people on the team.
He's four.
Thank you.
And the only one who has a legitimate excuse in that group is Hayward.
Right.
Right? He's got a legit major injury that he's coming off that we could all understand might have created some psychological barriers. I get that. The other three... It's between their ears.
We're going to wrap it up with another segment of your wonderful phone calls right after Murray's update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
To the far point. Here's Nordstrom hanging high. Rink wide. Grizzly walks in. Shoots one. The save. Rebound. He scores! A sally for the second time in as many games. Sean Corrali jumping up and down. Crashes into the far corner boards. He had the backhand in the slot. on the rebound opportunity and swings it home. Bruins 3, Blackhawks 2.
Nice. Welcome, Mavs, from our Star Market broadcast studios at the TD Garden. Bruins back in action tonight against Calgary. So you'll hear that here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. There was Corrales' game winner against Chicago. Still, it even sounded good on the radio, that crowd. It sounds different. You can tell it's just a different crowd noise in the background versus being at a hockey rink.
Oh, yeah, the outdoor crowd is way better than the indoor crowd.
I mean, it was, and especially because, I'm sorry, Chicago.
I mean, the noise of it is what I mean.
And the Chicago fans helped it. Like, they're good, loud fans. Just, you know, the anthem itself, we might talk about this the other day. I thought the anthem the other day was just so ballsy. It was fantastic. But, you know, their stupid goal song, you know.
I love it.
So when 50,000 people do it, there were 75,000 people in the stands. I think, you know, a third were Bruins, a quarter were Bruins. So whatever. When 50, 60,000 people do that, it's kind of cool.
It is.
It was kind of cool. But even sounded good there. Just the crowd noise is different. But anyway, Bruins back at it tonight. Just a couple updates for you on the lineup. Charlie McAvoy still not back. This guy.
Yeah, still no chubbies for Charlie.
Did he show up on time? Is he here? Or did Sleepyhead get out of bed? I mean, this guy, again.
You know, when they were talking about him not playing on Tuesday, they said, well, he'll probably play Thursday night. And that was Cassidy talking about him, and he's not in the lineup tonight.
Starting to worry about this guy. I'm past starting to worry about him. I'm worried about McAvoy. Worried about him. Can't stay on the ice. Can't show up on time. Has weird injuries, standard injuries, has injuries that they don't think are going to keep him out, they keep him out. He has injuries that he suffers and plays the next night, then misses the next however many. And where is the guy? And oh, by the way, he doesn't show up on time.
Always hurt. Hockey Garoppolo.
Or the hockey time lord. You know
what? Hockey Garoppolo.
Hockey Garoppolo. I missed that one.
Garoppolo on skates. It does always feel, though, with him, it takes a little longer than it should.
I'm worried about this guy. Most important guy on your franchise by far. By far. If he doesn't develop into the next guy, you're porked. A lot of their young players have taken a step back this year. He's top of the list. And when he's out there, he looks fine. Like, I still think he can play. He just can't stay out there. And how's his professionalism? We asked Cam Neely about it the other day. He didn't deny the fact that he's not showing up on time. So he's got some things to learn. Thankfully, we have some veterans who can help him learn it. So whatever. This McAvoy thing, it's starting to build with me. Get on the ice, for crying out loud, and show up on time, and get in shape, and, you know, start fulfilling what you can be. Is Halak in net?
You know, so I'm looking at the lines from their official Twitter account, and it's not here. I don't know who's in net tonight, so.
I'm just curious about that, because Neely also sort of had a good comment on Tuukka Rask at the Winter Classic that said we're waiting for him to pick up the ball and run with it.
Well, and then he had a good game. I mean,
And then Rask was terrific in that game.
I mean, if you're using the logic of, you know, they want Tuukka to get, here it is, Tuukka, take it. He has two good games in a row like that? Don't you have to play Tuukka?
Yes, but you also have this thing, and this is also uniquely Rask. You can't overload him.
Okay,
you got to watch the games played with him.
Yeah, but it's not a back-to-back situation, right?
No, it's not. That's right.
I mean, so, you know, you're back in your building now, a couple days off. Here you go. Put him out there again. Let's go. Let's get him on a roll.
Okay? Daily Faceoff has Halak, but it's unconfirmed. So.
Okay, so we'll see.
Oh, see, that would piss me off.
Why?
Because the whole point of starting Rask in that game, based on what they were telling us, is we want to try to get him on a roll. Now it looks like he might be getting on a roll two games, and that's too many? Three's too many? You can't play him in the third one?
He's not that kind of guy. He needs his blows.
Oh, God.
Which is different than saying he blows, which sometimes he does as well. But he needs his rest. Tukes. All right, so there's your Bruins thought. Back to your phone. Celtics and Patriots. In fact, Scott and Weymouth, our most annoying caller, has been holding to talk Winter Classic, so we'll give him a sniff here. Go ahead, Scott.
Thank you. Thugger, please grab me this. Do I sound okay? They're on speaker. Am I okay? Can you hear me?
Just go. Go.
Thank you. All right, 2 points on the 1 point Winter Classic, and then we're going to talk tonight. What the heck happened to Ryan Donato and Danton Heinen? I watched the game. Now, granted, I was at a bad drinking, but I don't think I heard either one of the names called. I don't think Donato touched the ice the whole game. No joke. I don't know that he skated. And Heinen, how does he go from first line to disappearing in one game? Now, about tonight, I'm sorry to predict sports betting, but they're losing tonight. They come back from Indiana. There's no way they're going to beat Calgary tonight. Calgary's going to roll over them. Thank you. Thank you for the time.
Okay. We'll mark it. Heinen, I almost never notice. I just, he's, again, the quiet one.
He's got a quiet game.
The quiet one. Greatest line ever by DJ Bean, my buddy, at NBC Sports Boston. I really like Don Heinen's game. He plays a quiet game, which is just, I've never heard a more accurate analysis of someone's game in my life.
It's true. I don't remember seeing him in the Winter Classic.
It's so quiet as to be silent. As to be completely, is he even there?
The quiet one. Okay. I love that.
Don Heinen's the quiet one. Donato, he's not, I think Donato's skating with the Krejci line tonight, if I pulled up my website properly, which is, that's still just a huge issue for them. I mean, Cassidy, that'll last maybe 2 minutes, and then he'll put someone else in there. He is constantly throwing someone else up into that Krejci spot, that top six, and they just can't find anyone. And so, you know, Donato has been a little bit of a disappointment.
I don't know. I think it was Ty Anderson who said to me in the hallway last night, I like the idea of putting Donato with Bergeron and Marchand and putting Pasternak with Krejci.
Say it one more time. Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
Like, I could see that working.
Yes.
Like, you know, and again, I told you, I think Krejci should stay with the first line wingers, Marchand and Pasternak, and I'd drop Bergeron down. But if you're telling me that you could put Donato up there with first line, and you could talk me into that too.
Okay, so Maz had two great stats today, two amazing stats that tell you just what the Celtics and the Patriots might be. We'll start with the Celtics one with a call. Mike in Fitchburg, go ahead.
Yeah, it's exactly about what you're just talking about now. So can we say that the five teams that are capable of winning the East are Boston, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Indiana, and Toronto?
Okay, I'll work with you on that.
You got to win it.
Okay, sure.
Right? So the Celtics are 4-4 against those teams. Everybody else is pretty much almost the same thing. Milwaukee's 5-2. Philadelphia is actually 2-2.
Whoa! Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm not going to let you go. What do you mean they're the same thing? You said Milwaukee's 5-2. So the Celtics are. How did 4-4 became the same as 5-2?
It isn't.
That's called green teamer math.
Yeah.
That's called like Fantasyland wee sort of math. How is 4-4 the same as 5-2?
It's 4-3. I said 4-3 for the Celtics, 5-2 for Milwaukee.
Oh, that's I thought you said 4-4.
I thought he said 4-4.
Well,
I thought
you said 4-4. All summer, by the way, we heard this all summer. Oh, they can't beat the good teams, and then somebody won the World Series.
Mike, so hold on. You were supposed to be 4-3. You were supposed to be neck and neck with all these teams, or weren't you supposed to be much better than all these teams?
See, that's my point too, right? They were supposed to be the clear choice to go. Now they're just in a cluster with everybody else.
So hold on, Mike. Hold on. So that's what you said.
But you're saying you said they're going to be 9-13 again.
I talk. You thought they're going to be right in that cluster with those other teams, Mike?
No, I thought they'd be better. I'll agree with you there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right. But I'm just saying, don't say that they can't win it. Don't say, oh, they're 9-13. They only beat the bad teams. Just like.
Well, here's Maz's stat. Go ahead. Give us your stat.
Okay, so this year against the bottom eight teams in the NBA, and last night Minnesota was one of them, okay? The bottom eight teams in the league, the Celtics are 13-2. Against everybody else, they're 9-13.
So again, when you say the bottom eight, I mean, we're not talking about the bottom. We're talking about the bottom eight teams in the league.
Of the dregs of the dregs, Chicago, Atlanta.
Bottom eight, 13-2.
And the two losses are at home.
Against everybody else, they're what?
9-13.
So they're 9-13 against anyone who's in the top three quarters of the league.
Anyone who doesn't suck, including the mediocre teams, they're 9-13.
So, but now all of a sudden, being just like Philadelphia and Indiana,
a team that everybody was universally ragging on.
Okay,
the last year or so.
So, caller, you're the same as Philadelphia and Indiana against teams in the East, and that's like what you thought they were going to be.
The over under on the Celtics in Vegas for wins, I think, was like 58.5. You know, this was a projected basically 60-win team.
You can't be happy with this team.
Freaking green team.
Like, you can't twist yourself into a pretzel and say, like, everything's okay with the Celtics right now. You just can't. You look like a fool.
Seriously, they're babies. You're a bunch of babies.
If you're saying it'll change.
Yeah, maybe.
And there'll be something else, then that's fine. That's a prediction.
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll see how that all works out.
And a big move could happen between now and the trade deadline, so it could be a different-looking team. But for right now, like, things aren't great.
This is not what you thought they were going to be. The Patriots stat. This is a great Patriots stat.
Oh, yeah. No. This one clearly has gone up people's tailpipes.
Has it?
Yeah, since I said it the first time I tweeted it.
Why'd you do that?
Because it's a good stat.
You just want to.
I thought you stopped reading your mentions.
Why would you?
Well, no, I saw Mike Giardi retweeted something about it. It's the only reason I saw it. But it's a good point by you, Jimmy.
No. This was a particularly good one. This goes right up the tailpipe because you really want to piss off a Patriots fan? Tell them that their division sucks. Like, that is easily their most sensitive topic. It's a third rail topic that you have easy schedules because of your division.
Strength of schedule is up there, too.
Oh, they freaking hate it. They hate it. You had a hard strength of schedule this year, by the way, folks. Yeah, you haven't heard me mention strength of schedule. You had a decent strength of schedule. That's not one of the issues this year. But they hate hearing that the AFC sucks. They hate it. Oh, they hate it. 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 So listen to this one, Patriots fans. Go ahead, Maz.
Okay, so point differential is obviously points scored minus the points you've allowed. Okay, this year.
It's like run differential in.
Absolutely.
They do plus minus in basketball, all of it. Goal differential in hockey.
It's a team plus minus stat.
Some of the stat nerds really believe in this stat. It's a cumulative stat that tells you what you really are.
Right. It gives you some ideas to a team's potency.
Yes.
As we'd like to call it.
In baseball and other sports, we completely ignore it, but this one we're giving credence to.
Correct. Patriots are plus. Patriots are plus 111 after they beat the snot out of the Bills and Jets in the last 2 weeks.
They're plus 111 on the season.
Plus 111 on the season. Inside the division, plus 110. Outside the division, plus 1. Holy crap. Like, and you're going to sit here and tell me that the division doesn't matter? That's what you're going to say? Plus 110 against the absolute dog crap of the AFC East. Plus 1 in the other 10 games.
So, against teams outside of your division, you are 6-4 with a plus 1 point differential.
Correct.
Which means you're
mediocre.
Kind of, sort of, average.
That's mediocre.
You're just above average.
It's mediocre.
Well, 5-5 would be average. You're just above average.
Okay, I think they should be 5-5. Plus one.
I'm not taking a win away from them, Maz. I'm not doing what you're doing.
Plus one is 5-5. That's what I would say. So, it's basically neutral.
So what's their counter? Because they always have a counter to the soft division.
Okay, so the counter is, they're 4-0 against the teams that are in the playoffs.
So that's fair.
True. Three of them were at home.
Mm-hmm.
Indy earlier in the year.
I got it.
Okay.
So Green Bay, Minnesota, Kansas City.
And they did beat Kansas City. Kansas City didn't make the playoffs.
Oh, so now they're Green Bay. Why did I mention that?
Right. So Chicago's one of them. They won at Chicago. So that one certainly goes in their favor. And now they're 4-0 against playoff teams. So give them credit for that. But three of them were at home.
So
I would tell you with the Patriots is that I think we all feel way better about them if they're at home. So, if they're playing at home this postseason, I like their chances. My question is, what happens if they have to go to Kansas City?
And on the Celtics, 4-3 against again. Now all of a sudden, you know, Milwaukee, Indiana, and Philly are like the elite of the iron. When no one gave those teams like 10 seconds in the offseason. Oh, my God. I would love to roll back some of the preseason, you know, commentary on these teams. But now they're the iron. Okay. The Celtics are 4-3 against those teams. How many road wins are there in that four? Have they beaten Milwaukee, Toronto, Philly, or Indy on the road?
They can't win Toronto, so that's a definite no.
It's definitely no.
I don't think so, no. I mean, I'd have to go and look, but off the top of my head, no. They certainly didn't win at Toronto, that's for sure. I don't think they won at Milwaukee either, right?
No.
They beat Milwaukee here, they beat Philly here, they beat Toronto here. So I don't know. Indiana, they got their doors blown
off. They did. They got beat there badly.
And here, Indiana came here. No, was it? No, that was Utah that beat you. Sorry.
Utah beat them twice.
And they stink.
Yeah, but Utah doesn't count. Never mind. We're now fumbling around. Either
Utah
way,
got better
with
without
numbers.
Gordon Hayward.
No. Oh, interesting. So on that note, final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place
nobody,
to go.
Murray.
Town Fair Tire. Best prices, great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nope. So it was a rare Thursday appearance by Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal.
A big boy Thursday.
Yep. Which means one
double
thing.
Double XL edition.
Which means one thing, that it's a recap of the 10-question segment with Greg Bedard as condensed by Hardy of the Midday Show.
He was terrible. He was not good.
List in order, Greg, the two worst head coaching jobs currently available. I say two because I think one is obvious. I want to know what your next one will be. But what are the two worst?
Bengals and Cardinals.
Thank you. Give me the best two coaching jobs, please.
Packers. I just like the whole setup there. And
Cleveland, Green Bay.
Cleveland and the Jets.
Of the names you hear floating around out there for head coaching jobs, who does not deserve one? Who would you stay away from with a 10-foot pole?
Almost all of them. Seriously.
All right, there is rumblings. Rumbles out there. That Josh McDaniels, what he did last year to Indianapolis, is being held against him. That maybe he's not getting as many looks as he would because teams are afraid of him or hold against him. That he left the Colts at the altar. Is that true? Are you hearing the rumblings? Rumbles out there.
I'm not hearing that.
Should the Steelers trade Antonio Brown?
They can't trade him. It's just impossible.
I heard post-June 1.
Maybe.
Biggest tool bag left in the playoffs, player or coach?
No doubt. Travis Kelce.
If you could have one of the following two quarterbacks, you have to pick one in these playoffs. Mitch Trubisky or Lamar Jackson? Who do you take?
For the playoffs or?
In these playoffs.
Just in general.
No, from this day going forward.
In these playoffs.
For the playoffs or just in general?
Well, let's just answer this however you want. Are there any coaches who have coached their team into the playoffs who should be fired?
Yes.
Agreed. Do you think there should be any tweaks to the NFL playoff system, Greg?
I do. I'm not exactly sure how it all works out. Go from there.
What?
I no, but I'm...
What's the matter with you?
That's just unfair.
It's really not even that heavily edited. He does take that long.
Oh, my God, does he ever. Like, you know, you give him the questions ahead of time. He writes down the answers. And then you ask him.
Fumbles around.
And then all you have to do is just read the answer. So you ask, he's got it written down, and you say, okay, you know, who do you like in the Super Bowl?
Well,
which Super Bowl?
It's great.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.